miss you.
Oh, man.
What is going on?
I will start now. What is going on, everybody? This is Jerry from The Bank Job, and you are enjoying a weekend edition of The Timeout. Okay, so we're going to start off this week. Let's recap a little bit what happened this week. What was the biggest game for you guys? I'm here with myself, Jerry. Coach is with me, and the new guy, Chris, who we picked up off the street earlier today. But he says that he likes basketball, so he's here.
What's up?
All right, Chris. Best game for you this week so far?
Best game or...
Best game.
What was the most important game?
Okay. All right. Either one.
Because I think the most important game was the Warriors and Clippers. Because everyone said it was going to be the best game of the week. Everyone hyped it up. Everyone said this is the Clippers' chance to show everyone that they're the best team in the league. And then they got destroyed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is anyone really doubting the Warriors are the best team right now?
I don't think so. I think if you are arguing that the Warriors have the... are anywhere subpar of the best team, who's better than them?
Cleveland.
Okay.
That's the only team you can say.
It is the only team that you can say is better than. But the Cleveland just lost to the Bucks last week. So, I mean, yeah, like the Warriors lost to the Lakers the first week of the year. But that's not something that they haven't fixed already. They went back to the Lakers and they destroyed them by 43 points. And then the next night by 20-something. So it's like they have this under wraps right now. They're fine doing whatever they got to do out there. And, I mean, in a seven-game series right now, unless the other team's playing some serious defense, I do not see this going any other way.
Well, you have to look at, didn't the Warriors just lose to the Rockets in double overtime? So they have lost games. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're invincible right now. But you still have a guy named LeBron James in Cleveland. And they're the ones that have the ring right now. So
it's true.
Defending champs. I still like the Warriors. And I still think the Cleveland Clippers game, or excuse me, the Golden State Clippers game was the game of the week. And I think it was a good game because it was a beatdown. It was a statement. It was, hey, Blake Griffin, I heard you were good. Oh, wait, you're not.
Hey, man, don't hate on Blake Griffin. You know I love him. He's been playing great this year. I hate everybody ragging on him after the past few seasons, but he's been playing great this year. He had one bad night along with literally everybody else on that team that put up, like, nothing on the offensive end of things because they couldn't – which is weird because the Warriors, they don't play defense typically. All they do is just outscore you, and it was just – absolute dominance from the start to the finish, and there was nothing that the Clippers could do about it, even offensively, to really make any effect. I think, didn't like Jamal Crawford have the most points that game? When you have old man River on the bench, it's like 35 years old, putting up your best score. No offense, Dwayne Wade. But it's not expected, and it shouldn't happen if you want to win games.
But here's that game. Kevin Durant, 16 points. Klay Thompson, 24. Steph Curry, 19. And the Clippers got blown out. So it's not even like the big three did the work.
Wasn't Curry like 0 for 7 from 3 that game? Or
I think he hit a couple at the end to make sure that he...
No, he didn't make a 3 that game.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, wow. 2 games this season, no 3s.
Both in L.A.
Oh, dang.
But so the Clippers should have been there in that game. They should, technically, if Durant, Clay, and Steph don't have good games, you should be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, where were the Clippers?
Exactly. Great question. So, no idea.
To backtrack real quick, you're like, oh, well, Blake Griffin didn't have a good game. It's one game this year. But it was the most important game he's played this year. Yeah. So, it's like he doesn't show up when he needs to.
Don't you hate on him? He could be my MVP for the season so far. I love that man.
Chris Paul's been like 3 times better than him.
Oh, no.
And he's not even in my top 5 MVP.
No way. He's like 22 points a game and 10 rebounds. Like, that's what you expect from someone who is superstar caliber and on a great team.
As long as he's playing the LA Lakers.
Do you expect 5 for 20 against the best team in the league at home, and he's taking these mid-range, you know, 17, 18-foot jumpers when he's a big dude who's supposed to be slamming it down on people?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. what was it like? He was like, oh, one of 11 from like 15 feet.
Chris and I are teaming up on you.
I see that, man. I see the dynamic now. You guys are friends and I'm not. I hate all of you. I invited you guys here and you guys shame me in my own place.
I'm just going to start my own podcast. Yeah, I hate Blake.
No Blake. Hate Blake. My game for the week was probably a very underrated one. The double overtime game that happened between Memphis and New Orleans was really good to me. It's one of the few that I actually got to watch this week. But I'm so happy that I picked it. I saw in the fourth quarter it was kind of close. And double overtime, Marc Gasol is being used finally like how he should have been for the past 10 years maybe. Just absolute dominance. They encourage him to take the three ball. And he has either tied or won the game three times so far in their, like, what, 22 games that they've played this season? 22, 23 games? They've been playing so good. And I'm just happy for Memphis, despite the injuries that they've had, because Mike Conley is a, like, he's, this was his best season so far. And then he gets injured, like he does every season, and it's all down the drain once again. And then they look out, they're like, we don't have any hope anymore. And then Marc Gasol finally throwing more of a load on him on the offensive end hasn't proven to be a bad thing. Like, Vince Carter's out. George Ennis. If you have to start George Ennis, there's an issue already there. And then Zebo coming off the bench, which I'm still not 100%. Like, does anybody know why he's coming off the bench?
He's old.
That's true.
That's it. I mean, yeah. He is on the back nine of his career. So if you can get quality minutes out of a guy you know you can get points from and bring him off your bench, and let, like you said, let Gasol take the load offensively when the starters are there. But I'm impressed with the Grizzlies because, like you said, they're shorthanded right now. They're still winning games. They're going to run into a buzzsaw tonight and lose against the Warriors. But I think Gasol is a sleeper for MVP.
So do you think that tonight's game is definitely like 100% like easy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
But
100%.
Earlier you said, before our podcast, we were talking about this game, and you said that people play to their competition, which is 100% accurate in the NBA. Now, do you think that they will play down to their competition by sitting both Steph and Durant and letting Klay Thompson score another 60 points? Or do you think that they're just going to like kind of take it easy and it'll like leave them still in the game? Or do you think that Memphis could actually have a true chance at this just because they are one of the few teams that actually plays defense in the league?
Well, Iggy's out tonight. Looney's out tonight for Golden State. So you're shortening their bench. So their starters are going to have to play more minutes. Memphis does play great defense, but you're also trying to play great defense on three guys that can play one-on-one by themselves and create their own offense. So I think, you know, team defense is a great scheme. They're a great scheming defense. But can you stop Kevin Durant? How are you going to stop him? Well, we'll double team him. Okay, so then who are you leaving open? You know, so I don't think they have a chance at all. I think what's going to happen is Warriors are going to get out early, and they're just going to hit the cruise control like they do every game.
Yeah. Forget defense for a second. They're the second worst in the West in points per game. And obviously they play a little bit slower, but I mean, when you're right there with the Dallas Mavericks in offense, I think it'll be close. I think they can stop the Warriors. It's not that's the problem. It's their scoring.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to score against the Warriors.
I agree. Yeah, I think that'll be their ultimate decision-making because it's – you can slow them down, but currently slowing down the Warriors means letting them score 110 instead of 130. So it's going to be definitely a tough accomplishment for them to be able to even get. I don't know if they've scored over 105 in more than two games this year without it going into overtime. So it's a slight chance that they'll be able to do it. But I'm really pulling for them just because I love them. I don't know if it's because I was like drafted to their team in 2K or like because I actually like this team. But either way, it should be a pretty good game.
I like the Pelicans so much. You know, me and Anthony Davis on one team and my team. I misspoke, though. I shouldn't say that they're down there with the Mavericks in offense. They're actually – but they are behind the 76ers in offense for points per game. So
that's still not very good.
That's pretty
still not very good. The 76ers, is anything good going to happen to that team? And when are they going to trade Nerlens Noel?
Never. I say you keep him on your team. That way it forces him never to be able to play basketball. Like, you don't want to play for us, then you don't play. Tough.
But, I mean, do you want to pay this guy that's sitting doing nothing And then...
Are they paying him?
I don't know.
Because I think that's like him voluntarily.
Oh, voluntarily not playing? Oh, then I guess it doesn't hurt against their payroll, so yeah. What do they care?
And you're not like, you're not going to be better with him.
Right, but
don't you think... You're still going to be last place, or second to last, or wherever they are right now.
Don't you think that they could get something good in return, though? Like, who would he be able to trade for? Do you think that Golden State would like someone like him on their team just to have a true big man down there?
Absolutely, but what are they giving up for him? They don't have... You're not going to have draft picks. You're always going to be in the top three in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean...
Your draft picks are garbage.
They could offer it. It's still a first rounder. I mean, Draymond Green, they didn't pick up to like pick number 18 in the first round, so...
No, I think it was second round.
I think it was...
Second or third.
I was going to say he was like 24, actually.
Yeah, he was pretty low.
I remember watching a video round. Where he named every single person who got drafted before him because he was so mad about it.
Now he kicks them all in the throat or other places.
He was right, though. He deserved to be drafted higher, and he wasn't.
Yeah, he definitely did. Clearly, he's made his point. I mean, dude's been reckless. I don't understand how somebody just doesn't learn that... Like, their action on the court will have consequences because he's not going to end up with any money by the end of the season after all the fines that he's going to be paying. He kicked James Harden in the throat this week, right?
He kicked him in the head, I think.
Yeah, it was...
Which is impressive.
To get your leg up that high from a standstill position. Like, he was not in any sort of a real motion. He was just like, let me just kind of float this one up there. And then his leg followed the ball all the way up to his throat.
I thought Harden put his head down a little bit.
He did put it down a little bit. But they were both in the air.
Harden went to the ref and he was like grabbing his jewels. Like, he was trying to play it off like, you know, he does this all the time. So this is where he hit me. But it was clearly in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty smart, though.
I guess so, yeah. James Harden, does anybody think that he's going to be really MVP caliber? Does anybody think that... So we always talk about MVPs, and we'll get into that a little bit more later, but is he going to be able to bring his team anywhere in the future? No?
I mean,
for this season. Like, are they going to be a dominant force in the West, or are they just going to be a standby?
I don't think you can be with the Warriors and Spurs and Clippers in that West.
Yeah, so they're not even in the same conversation as those guys?
No, I mean, statistically he is. Like, I mean, which I don't really care about stats.
Very, very key thing. You said statistically he is, not they are.
Well, without him, the Rockets aren't even, we're not even talking about the Rockets.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. The Rockets do have a good team. I mean, you have Eric Gordon coming off your bench. Gordon's a good shooter.
Eric Gordon's a good shooter, but he's got to stay healthy.
But so is Harden. Who's their small forward? Three-point shooter.
Trevor Ariza.
Who's the backup?
No idea.
You hate Ariza, don't you?
I know, no. There is a guy.
Wesley Matthews is out there, too. So he's shooting.
I think they have a lot of shooters around Harden. They have decent big men. Not like anyone that you're going to, like, go spend $100 million on. But there aren't that many big men out there in the first place. So when I look at them... I don't say they're the Oklahoma City Thunder. Whereas you take Westbrook off that team, you have nothing. I think these guys could run 500 without Harden.
Without Harden?
Yeah. They could run 500.
That's impressive.
The backup small forward you were talking about, Sam Decker, your boy.
Sam Decker. If you haven't seen the highlight reel yet, go check out... Sam Decker? Sam Decker. I've never heard of him before today as I watched the highlights of him throw down against Enes Kanter of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Absolute destruction. Threw him to the ground. We actually have that game playing behind us. Do we want to talk about that game at all? Like, is this a statement game for the Rockets? That they're better than the Thunder at least? And James Harden's MVP... Like, he gets one more voter out of, like, the hundreds of people that vote?
Statement game, I don't know if you can call it a statement game because Oklahoma City's not great. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City's not even good. But I think it's a Harden versus Westbrook matchup that everyone's looking at, and Harden can say, I came out on top. So, yeah, it's a good game for Harden, and it's a good win for him. But a statement game, no. I think they have to beat the Spurs. They just beat the Warriors. So I think that's more of their statement game than anything.
The Rockets are better than the Thunder, you know, as is. Mm-hmm. And they're rolling, too. They get I think it's 5 straight that they just made it. But, great, now I lost my train of thought. I hear all that clacking in the background.
That's okay. Don't worry about it, man.
We're cooking here.
Yeah, we're cooking. This is a family affair, if you will, and it's, you're all invited into our living room.
When you said, you know, come join my podcast while I talk, I thought I'd be like in a booth with like this huge mic set up and like a couple producers.
Dude, what do you expect?
We're like in the living room. She's cooking in the background. We're drinking beer.
Yeah, man. This is the only way. This is for our pleasure more so than anybody else.
Yeah, this is 2016. This is the future.
This is great. Does anybody, like, has anyone paid attention to the Pistons so far this year? I mean, nobody really pays attention to the Eastern Conference, like, period.
Is that where Stan Van Gundy is right now? He's in Detroit.
Yeah, he is.
They were talking last year. They're like, oh, yeah, he's going to turn this around. Then I haven't heard anything about the Pistons in the past year.
Yeah. They had a lot of injury issues, but I think that it's actually coming through pretty well for them right now. They've won, I think, 4 out of their last 6, maybe, which is good for them. That brought them above 500. They're 12 and 11, 12 and 12.
13 and 12.
13 and 12. Thank you very much. They have a solid defense, but the thing is, Reggie Jackson just came back finally from being injured for like 27 years, it seems like. And they needed him on this team. So with him, he's not doing a whole lot offensively, like stat-wise, but his presence on the court is definitely seen in their record for the past few days, similar to like Drew Holiday when he's on the court versus off the court.
I actually like Detroit, and I hope that by year end they stay exactly where they are in the 8th spot.
Yep.
Because I want them to run into Cleveland. Because I think Cleveland's the biggest weakness that you can do on Cleveland is just run big guys at them. Mm-hmm. And Detroit's a big, mean, nasty team. They're not the Pistons of old, but they are a physical team.
Yeah, definitely.
And so if you can be physical with LeBron, obviously, they're not going to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, but let's beat the Cleveland Cavaliers up a little bit before they get to the Eastern Conference Finals so that maybe Toronto has a shot to take them at least, you know, five games.
Toronto's. That's messed up. I was going to say, I like how you said, let's keep them where they are, because it's like, but who cares? Like, after the 2 spot in the East, like, who cares?
Yeah,
it's true. I mean, The 5 spot in the East right now currently belongs to the New York Knicks. And did everybody watch what happened between the Cavs and the Knicks this week, right?
Yep.
Third quarter, LeBron just flipping bottles. Him and Kyrie on the bench just having a contest. Who can flip this bottle first? That's the type of game we're going to expect to have between some of the best that are in the Eastern Conference this year. Whereas one team literally sits on the bench and plays like patty cake, doing nothing.
I look at that, though. Basketball is matchups, you know. It's 100% matchups. New York is a 500 team. Mm-hmm. They're decent. But when they match up against Cleveland, like, Derrick Rose, I love you, but your legs are going to fall apart.
He's already injured.
Kyrie's the best point guard out there in the East.
Okay.
Way to save yourself right there.
He is the best point guard. No one can match up with LeBron on New York. Because what is that, Carmelo spot?
He doesn't play defense at all.
You think he's better than
Dragic from the Heat? Who? Gordon.
Yeah.
Who's better than him?
Kyrie. This is not even a contest.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I was caught napping for a second. For whatever reason, I thought we were talking about the Bulls. Go ahead.
No. We're talking about the Cavs.
Yes,
I just think it's a horrible matchup.
Yeah, okay, we're good. Yeah.
It was a horrible matchup. It's going to be a horrible matchup. Yeah. So New York can hang with most people in the East, but they can't hang with Cleveland. I am sorry for the New York Knicks fans that thought that that was going to be like this great classic going into that game. It wasn't going to be. You're playing Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
You are New York. Your youngest starting guy is like 46. Like, you guys are old. Your window is already closed.
Yep.
Phil's just throwing people on a court to put seats or butts in the seats.
Yeah.
That's basically what the New York Knicks are right now. Is we'll give you names, but they're names from 10 years ago. Like, if Carmelo was 7 years ago and Rose was 6 years ago, that's going to be a great matchup, but it's not.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there's so much wrong with the Knicks, but I mean, when you have, you think that you get a good outing from like a good matchup between Porzingis just trying to expose Tristan Thompson, but the thing is, like you said, there's nobody to stop these guys on the on the offensive end of things, or on the defensive, whatever. Like, Brandon Jennings will probably be starting by the time that playoffs come around, because Derrick Rose would probably be injured. So Brandon Jennings is 100% an offensive-minded player. That, I mean, from when he was back with the Bucks before, he didn't play much defense at all. So you have him, his matchup, he loses to Kyrie because Kyrie's better than him. If we're just playing offensive games versus offensive games, Kyrie wins that matchup. LeBron wins his matchup. Porzingis may be able to win that battle against Tristan Thompson, but he's not going to get more rebounds. And that's ultimately what it's going to come down to, like, who has more possessions. And there's no way that New York ends up with more. So
you were talking about yesterday who's better or who's good, the Knicks or Bulls. Do you mind touching that quick?
Yeah, let's do that.
Because you were talking about that yesterday, and I had to look at the Knicks schedule to see who they lost to. The only under 500 team they've lost to were the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
So they're beating the teams that they need to beat,
yeah,
but they're not beating the teams that they need to beat.
Yeah, yeah.
So when Cleveland comes into town or when Toronto comes in town, they get crushed.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, they're where they should be in the East.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, yeah. The East is not that great. So, like, five is not a bad spot for the Knicks. Right. I don't think they're a bad team. And I know how you guys feel about Phil Jackson.
Yeah, we're not.
I like Phil Jackson.
Why?
Okay, number one, the coach that he brought in, and number two, Porzingis. Just right there. Who thought Porzingis was going to be anything that he was?
Okay, that is
only Phil Jackson.
That's a move like one out of the past 15 that he's had has worked out.
Look, here's what Phil Jackson has to do: drop the triangle. That's it. Once they drop the triangle, I think they'll be better.
Can we talk about the triangle?
Yeah, let's talk about the triangle.
The triangle works when you have Michael Jordan as the two guard or Kobe Bryant as the two guard. Like, the triangle was worked perfectly because you had the best shooting guard in the league at the time. Every single time you were running the triangle, it works perfectly if you have the right pieces. Mm-hmm. You don't have the right pieces here.
Do you know how the triangle works? Not to be condescending, I watched a video like a few weeks ago because I didn't understand it. The coach who was explaining the video did not understand the triangle. It was pretty bad. Like, it's just so confusing.
Elaborate. Did you figure it out after a while? Or
no, I didn't
you
still don't understand. So he's basically saying, like, I'm trying to think. He's basically trying to get separation is the point on offense. Well, I guess it wouldn't work on offense, obviously. But the point is to get separation from the people that can't make the outside shot and to be close to the people that, you know, can make the shot, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But it's just so much moving around. You can lose your guy easily. You can have one guy on two people and one guy wide open. It just gets so confusing trying to figure out the defense.
Yeah, and I feel like that would only work if he, like, in this day and age, there are only, like, it seems like two really, like, genuine shooting guards in the league, and one of them's a point guard, and his name's Russell Westbrook. And then the other one is DeMar DeRozan. And, I mean, there's not much that you can expect from players of that kind, because, like, Russell Westbrook's going to bring the ball up every time because that's just his attitude on the court. But I feel like the triangle wouldn't change the Knicks. I think that you have to get a young team together. You have to start over. Even if he took a team like the Milwaukee Bucks or maybe the Timberwolves with Andrew Wiggins, something like that, I think you could drop the triangle in there as long as you have a respected head coach. If you had Luke Walton, who played the triangle, knows the triangle well, and is also systematically a very good coach, as his record has proven, and as he's been able to shape Nick Young into something from nothing. I think if you instituted that with the right fitting, it could work, but no.
What a year Nick Young is having. Oh, my goodness. I hated him the past three years.
Me too. Me too.
Swaggy P. Are you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
He was a joke.
Yep.
When he turned around, when he thought he made that three, he looks back and he didn't. It doesn't matter. And he's, like, turned into, like, a superstar in the Lakers. Like,
I know.
If it wasn't for him, the Lakers would not have won a few games already.
I know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you watched any games without Nick Young? It's sad. you watch it out there, and all you see is, like, Lou Williams come in, like, 2 minutes off the bench just to say that he can be the sixth man of the year. And he goes out there, he's like, all right, I guess I'm playing the rest of this game, dropping, like, 45 points. Ingram's looking around like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. I'm really tall and awkwardly linked, but I really think I should be playing basketball. And then Julius Randle's out there like, I don't really got anybody that's going to pass me the ball anymore, so I guess I'll just stand around and do nothing. That team is such a mess. I don't even understand it anymore, which is sad to see that it's really influenced by one player like that. But Nick Young brings the hype to that team, and that's exactly what they need because they're young, and all they are is just pushed by momentum.
So you're saying MVP votes?
Oh, I wouldn't. MVP votes for the bottom half of the league.
Let's say, how about the biggest turnaround of the year? Like, yeah, there was no guy the who most I improved hated player, more yeah. to now that he's, I kind of like him. Yeah. Like, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I agree with you. I did not expect that from him at all this year, as even in training camp, I think they were thinking of cutting him. And now he's a starting two guard, and he's a valuable asset to this team. So it's good to watch.
Kobe who?
Don't even make too that soon, claim. Too soon. Has anybody watched the Bucks very much?
I was just going to talk about that, because there's three teams out there that I thought should be fantastic this year. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee's one of them.
All right, so let's throw this into Mr. Fix-It. Everybody, this is the new segment that we started a few weeks ago. We call it Mr. Fix-It with Coach.
Let's talk about the Milwaukee Bucks for a moment. A team that 2 years ago people were saying Jason Kidd is a genius and he's going to do all these amazing things with these young players, and they went and spent a lot of money on Greg Monroe, and so they should be a dominant Eastern Conference team. They should be easily a 3 seed at all times. They gave the big dollars to Matthew Dellavedova. Because he was, I think that's actually the problem. But they gave big money to people that came in and had pedigree. You know, Matt Dellavedova just won a championship, so he knows how to win. So why aren't they good? Because I look at the roster, and you have the Greek Freak, Michael Beasley, who I just love Michael Beasley when he's not smoking. Matthew Dellavedova, Greg Monroe, Jabari Parker. I mean, that's a starting five that should just be able to go out there and compete immediately. Mm-hmm. And then you have people like Jason Terry, who, yeah, he's older, but experience. You know, he's a great three-point shooter.
And he can break John the ankles Henson. Of the one invincible Steph Curry, as we have seen.
You have John Henson, who is a good big man. He's not like, you know, he's not your $100 million guy, but decent players. So what's wrong with them? One thing is they don't want to play big. Like, you are a big team and you sit Greg Monroe. I think I saw a couple games where Greg Monroe didn't even play. So you're suited up, you're paying some guy $100 million to not play. Mm-hmm. That you can't have that. Like, either he's got to produce or you got to trade him. Mm-hmm. You got to get something out of that center position where you're spending so much money for. Then there's Jabari Parker, who I think he came out of Duke a little too early. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit too much hype around him, but he's a high draft pick, so you got it. You have to develop this player.
Right.
I don't know if it's a Jason Kidd problem. Is he not playing the people when they need to be played, or are his combinations of his lineups not right?
I don't know. I think it comes down to, if it's a coaching issue, I'd say it's because Jason Kidd immediately went from NBA. He did not even take a break. Then he became the head coach of a team. Being the starting point guard of a championship team, I'm sure he had like some hype there. What was it? Carlisle was the coach of the Mavs when they won. That's great and all, but he had to really learn from these other coaches, really be an understudy before he could go out there and be a significant head coach, which is why in like 3 or 4 years he's already been on two different teams. I really think that he could be good, but every now and again people need to take a step back. And even coaches who were successful starting coaches in the past, like Mike Brown, is now an assistant coach. You know, if anything, go do it for being able to be highly recommended by your next coach. And I just don't see that the system is working out for the team that they have right now. And I'm like you. I don't understand if it's the players or if it's the coaching staff.
The few games that I watched with the Bucks, they seem to get into foul trouble early. And if you look, they're not like this huge team that fouls all the time. They're in the bottom of the league when it comes to how many fouls they commit. Like, they commit a lot, but it seems like the Greek Freak is coming out like in the first quarter because he's got two already halfway through. Or you got Jabari Parker who's already got four at the half or something. It's like, for whatever reason, they can't attack the rim just when some guy just stands there, don't run him over. Like, they have the finesse and the ability to just go around them. Mm-hmm. And they're so big, just shoot it over them sometimes. Mm-hmm. But they just want to seem to attack, which is good, but it's also hurting them.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody think that, I mean, from watching the few games that I've also seen, this is a very one-set offense, and it is the Greek Freak or nothing. Because, like, Antetokounmpo, he is 6'11", number one. He brings the ball up himself. He passes the ball maybe one time, and he shoots it. That's all their offense really is. If it's not in transition, then, like, Jabari Parker gets no points. He gets the ball very rarely just because it's all on Giannis. And that, I don't know if that's the way they want it, but it seems to only work for one team, which is OKC. And, I mean, they have a true superstar on their team who is a freak of nature, and they are only 500 at best. So is that really the kind of offensive style that you want to try and imitate? I mean, I understand if it's all that you have, but with all of these young players on this team, you don't know what anybody has really at this point. You have a few very good veterans on your team. Just kind of take them and harvest them. Greg Monroe can still teach Giannis a lot about working in the post because that is an area where he struggles. He's played for years since he was 17 overseas, and then he gradually came into the league, got drafted. He's on this team now, and he still seems to play that finesse sort of big man role, which in a league where there are so many of them, how much more effective would a true dominant big man down low be? Because you can just throw down over everybody.
You know, I agree. He should have a low post game. And him and Greg Monroe should just be down there beating everybody up. And it should be the exact opposite of what Chris just said. The other team should be in foul trouble. They should be like, we can't stop these two guys because the only way to stop them is to put them on the line. Mm-hmm. So if you have those things where you have your star players with four fouls before the second half starts, that's a coaching problem. Because once you get two fouls, the coach would be like, and as soon as you get that third one, you're sitting till the third quarter starts. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things inside that team that I think need to be fixed. But I think coaching is the way. Maybe you just don't have the assistant coaches that you need. Because like you said, Mike Brown is now the assistant coach over in Golden State. And that seems to suit him better. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know who the people are on that coaching staff with Kidd. Mm-hmm. It's probably like his three best friends from high school because he wanted to give them all jobs. And he didn't want to be in Milwaukee by himself.
What do you guys think of Dellavedova?
Oh, Dellavedova's garbage.
Yeah.
Garbage. Complete garbage.
Well, definitely overrated, but I mean,
Jerry said he knows how to win, but the thing is, when the Greek forgot
I did not say he knows how to win. Coach said that he knows
I did
how
say that. And I meant that because no he claims. Knows how to watch a LeBron win.
Okay. I wanted to touch on that, but I didn't want to interrupt you. The Greek Freak is averaging more assists per game than him. When the season started, he was jacking up threes and not making them. He's cooled down a lot. He stopped shooting it. But, I mean, he's not throwing the ball. Who has to get the ball? He's not making those good passes so that people can score. He's not getting the assist that he needs. And, obviously, he doesn't have the ball as much as the Greek Freak. But he's the point guard.
I feel like they got him for one reason, and one reason alone, which was actually two. One, to play defense, and two, to tell them how to beat the Cavaliers, which they did once this season already. And that's their only hope because they can try and get in as a 7 or 8 seed in the East, and all they can do is hope to have the most unexpected of wins versus a higher-ranked team, and the only one that has any real competition is Cleveland. And that's the only – one of the very few teams that they've beaten that is above 500 at all, I think. So,
yeah, I think a lot of the times – and this is one of the things I hated Amari Stoudemire for – was that you're in a system and it makes you look better than you are. And so – you look at Matthew Dellavedova last year and you say, man, he can throw a lot of great passes. Well, he's throwing passes because people can't double team off of LeBron. Mm-hmm. or people can't double team off of Kyrie. So then it leaves Tristan Thompson wide open because that's where the double team has to come from. Mm-hmm. And then Tristan Thompson gets a wide open oop pass. And guess who threw it? Matthew Dellavedova. So you're like, oh my God, Matthew Dellavedova is so smart because he can see all this court vision and he's amazing. No, he just is on an amazing basketball team, which makes him look better than he is. And then you pay to get him, and then you have Amari Stoudemire in New York, uh-huh. where you're like, you're going to be the guy. Oh, wait, you're horrible because Steve Nash isn't here.
But Jerry mentioned it. He was good on defense. It's like if you're playing like a pickup game, like you want him because he is scrappy. If there is a loose ball on the blacktop, he will scrape up his whole body just to grab it. But you just tell him, don't throw the ball, don't shoot the ball. Just you get those steals, and then you just wait on the other side of the court for the ball to come your way. Otherwise, he's useless.
That's so true. That's so true. Has anybody watched the Pelicans play recently? No?
I've tried to.
You tried to.
It's fun when Davis gets his hand on the ball.
Yeah. 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 When is the key word. Yeah. It's like his own team is trying to keep the ball away from him.
Which is crazy because he has the most minutes averaged played per game. He's averaging more minutes than is in a regular game. What is he's averaging 38.1 minutes a game.
But he's
still not getting the ball enough.
Yeah. I don't understand. One thing I respect about him because he is obviously a stretch big man at this point. He's dominant in the post, and he can shoot the three. He can shoot mid-range. He's got all that going for him. But the thing is, like, he doesn't bring the ball up the court. And then when you're in a Russell Westbrook situation, you understand why he brings the ball up all by himself all the time. Because for the sake of argument, listen to what I'm saying. Anthony Davis, if he did bring the ball up the court every time, then he'd obviously at least touch it every possession. They have a true point guard that is supposed to go pick and roll and get Anthony Davis the ball. Probably 25% of the time does Anthony Davis touch the ball during a possession, which is the craziest thing I have ever seen. He is your one and only hope to win games, especially if Drew Holiday is not there. If Drew Holiday is not there, no one else on that team should be shooting the ball, period. And then if you watch them, they're like, all right, let's keep away from Anthony Davis. And then they get trapped and they're like, I don't know what I should do. Should I throw it to this guy? Should I throw it to the next guy? I'm not sure. I am so confused. I don't know how I got drafted to the NBA. What am I doing here? I don't understand. One objective, ball goes to Anthony Davis, thus win games. Why is that so hard? Especially for this young team. I don't get it. Oh, well. Go ahead, Coach. You going to say something or no?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, I think the Pelicans are bombing on purpose. Because your third best player was Ryan Anderson last year, and you let him go.
Yeah.
Like, what's the mindset there that there's – legitimately their second best scorer and their second best shooter. Mm-hmm. You're just like, peace out, have a good one. Like, and then they let Eric Gordon go too. Mm-hmm. So I think they're tanking on purpose. They're just not telling anyone. They're going to be like, we're going to be bad for 3 years, hoping that they're going to have some crazy, amazing young backcourt to come up by the time Anthony Davis is right in his prime to late in his prime. Mm-hmm. And then they can be good then. And I think a lot of teams are of that thought of, well, we'll just wait out the Golden State years.
That's such a stretch, though, because, like, there is no way. If they tank for this year and for next year, there's no way I see that Anthony Davis stays with them the following year and doesn't go to, like, Pau Gasol is going to retire, like, probably this year, next year, or the year after that. There's no way I don't see him being like, yo, I'll go replace you guys and win a championship down in San Antonio with LaMarcus Aldridge. No questions asked. Like, that is – there's no way that's not going to happen.
Well, I heard that Steph Curry already called him and said he'd come to Golden State.
We'll see about that. Nerlens Noel's got that one on lock. let's see. Let's get into our new segment. We're going to add something new, everybody. This is called MVP Court, in which we will take our picks for the MVP, the early MVP of the season, and we'll go week by week, and we'll see how our pick is doing amongst the MVP votes. wants to start us off?
Fine, I'll go.
All right, Chris goes. Who is your claim?
Can I just start by saying
your defendant?
I looked for every reason not to say Russell Westbrook today. And and it's sad because obviously LeBron James was going to be up there, but Kevin Durant is actually having a phenomenal year, surprisingly, because I was thinking everyone says it's going to be even throughout the three guys or the technically three guys offensively, but he's having an unbelievable year. And obviously statistically, there was James Harden came and Chris Paul 2 weeks ago, not Chris Paul now.
Yeah.
Something happened over the past 2 weeks where Chris Paul has just been putrid. James Harden is putting up the same stats as Russell Westbrook, except not as many rebounds.
Yeah.
Which is, and just real quick, Russell Westbrook's triple-double thing that you've been talking about by the end of the year is going to average that. I don't think he's going to average that.
No?
The only reason why he might is because, I know Coach doesn't like it because he feels like he just sits under the rim and takes the rebounds from the big guys. But when Oscar Robertson played basketball, there was no three-pointers. So there's going to be long rebounds. Mm-hmm. And Russell Westbrook's rebounds aren't always under the rim. He's getting long rebounds and then running up court. I think that the strategy is going to change once they see that the Thunder aren't going to win the way he's playing. The coach is going to say, you have to run up, you know, half court sometimes to take the ball, take a pass there to run the fast break. Their fast break is awful because Russell Westbrook wants the ball right under the rim.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't get the rebound, he's there waiting for the ball for the rim.
So real quick, is Russell Westbrook your pick or is he not your pick?
He is my pick.
He is your pick. You're doing a very bad job of this. Thank you for explaining to us as to all the reasons why his stats are going to go down this year and the claim is not as good.
But how amazing is averaging a triple-double throughout the season?
Oh, yeah.
That is unbelievably impossible, and he's doing it. Mm-hmm. I can't argue with that. Even if it's just a one-person statistic, he's not helping his team. What would be the Thunder without him? They'd be garbage.
They're still garbage. Yeah, but that's the thing. The thing is, they may not make the playoffs with him, which is...
Yeah, I think they will.
I think they'll get... I think they'll slide in there. I don't know if they're going to have more than a 500 record to get there, but I think they may slide in there. And the thing is, if you have other options who are well above 500, it's hard not to just take them as, like, clearly they are so much more valued to their team as the results show. But like you said, if Russell Westbrook was not there, they would probably be right next to the Dallas Mavericks at this point in the season and have absolutely nothing going for them. Who would the starting point guard be if he wasn't there? Does anybody know?
Yeah, probably Oladipo, because I think he actually is a point guard too, right?
I think he's a shooting guard, but
6'1" shooting guard.
When he was with the Magic, he was a point guard, wasn't he?
I thought he was.
Yeah. Yeah. If he's the point guard, then once again, you have that same Magic scenario where they win no games with or without all their draft picks that they have. Coach, who's your pick for MVP?
Are we picking or can we rebuttal other people?
Oh, yeah, rebuttal. Go ahead. You can I forgot about this. This has just been a long time here, coming.
My problem with Westbrook. He is phenomenal, but your team literally tries to get you a double, triple-double every night. Like, they literally will inbounce the ball to him, and he just holds the ball for 20 seconds until he gets a double team, and then he passes out. Hopefully, it's going to be Adams, who is the second best option, and he will not take more than two steps, and he will shoot that ball. So literally, they are trying to get you a triple-double. I think it's a popularity contest, the MVP voting, so I don't think they'll have enough wins for him to get it. Ultimately, I don't think they'll have enough wins for him to be able to be the MVP. That's it.
Even if he deserved it, you don't think that? Just because they wouldn't have enough?
Right. I think you can't be the fourth seed in anywhere and be the MVP. I think you're going to have somebody that's on the top two of either the East or the West.
I think that was my point in saying that they have to change the way they play for him to actually win the MVP.
Okay.
Because it does seem like he doesn't think they're going to go to the playoffs to do anything. He just wants to have a good statistical season. But he's doing it.
And I think, like, even last year with the Warriors, they wanted to get that 73 wins, right? So they put all their eggs in that basket. And for a year, you can focus on just that. And I think Russell probably would be really close to averaging a triple-double. And averaging a triple-double is easier than actually having a triple-double, because he can go one game where he gets 18 rebounds, and the next game he goes and gets 7. But you're still, your average is high enough. So I think if that's his focus for this year, perfect. But I don't think he should get MVP because of it. Do you want me to pick my pick now?
Yeah, man. You are ready. You're like hot off the press with all your arguments. So let's see what you got for us now.
So here's who will not get the MVP this year, because they will not let it happen, but who should get it because he's the best: Stephen Curry. Why? Because now you've added Kevin Durant, which is what, 27, 29 points a game, his career stats, and he's still scoring the same amount. He's not. He's scoring 5 less points a night. But they're never playing more than 3 quarters. These guys play 3 quarters a night, and they're averaging 25 to 27 points. His assists are still where they're at last year. And yes, his assists will never, ever, ever be 8, 9, 10, because they have 5 guys that all pass the ball. So when you have a team playing team concept and they're just moving that ball to find the open person, he's never going to have huge, huge numbers in the assists, but he still is the sniper. Like, he is a sniper. He is deadly, and he has his swag still. Mm-hmm. And I love his swag. You guys can rebuttal and tell me I'm wrong. And I know I'm wrong, because there's no way the NBA is going to give it to him this year.
Yeah, but
there's no way.
The NBA is not going to give it to Kawhi Leonard either, but he should be up there in the talks, but they won't give it to him.
Yeah, the thing is, like, with the team that they have, you can't choose between them as to who is the MVP, because, like Chris was saying earlier, Kevin Durant is having an insane season right now. And how are you going to pick one over the other? I mean, clearly they're both going to be in there for the MVP talk. But I automatically dismiss that.
They negate each other.
Yeah, because this team still would be a playoff team if Klay Thompson was the number one option for them, you know? So it's like, I can't give it to them, because value-wise, I'm pretty sure that last season, the Golden State Warriors were still the number seed without Kevin Durant. You know, so clearly Kevin Durant is not the difference maker. He can readily be the championship MVP if they win with him, because I mean, it'll be well deserved. Even trade him for Harrison Barnes, why not? You know, that got them the win. But I do not see anybody in Golden State getting any sort of awards this year, other than Draymond Green, who may get the Defensive Player of the Year just because there's no other option. But I mean, I'd give it to Kawhi Leonard at this point. Anyway, anything for you to say, Chris?
I think I have the same idea when you're talking about how you can't give us any of the Warriors. Obviously, they're on pace to lose more than last year, which is going to happen even without Kevin Durant. There's no way they're going to match that. But if you're a number one seed 1 year and you're number one seed next year and having a top 5 player, then, I mean, can you really call it an MVP?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have 3 MVPs on their team, and I'm not even talking about Klay Thompson. I think Draymond Green, just being his presence, not even the way he plays sometimes, but just his presence makes him an MVP player. But the NBA doesn't look at that. The voters don't look at that. They look at stats. They look at where the team is ranked. Mm-hmm. I really think that they're going to give it to Westbrook. I mean, I think that he uh-huh. also deserves it. That's just my opinion. Yeah. When you look at his, and obviously you mentioned how he's just basically they're giving him assists at this point, but his 3-to-1 point to assist ratio for a point guard is still amazing. He's number 2 in scoring, and he's number 1 in assists per game. He might be number 2 by 0.1 behind, who was it, Harden?
Mm-hmm.
But so he's one of the highest scorers, right behind Davis.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best assister. And he's one of the best rebounders, and he's a point guard. And I think a lot of it has to do with a 3-point game, not the him standing under the basket, although a little bit isn't standing under the basket.
Moving on from Russell Westbrook and his news, as he is everyone's pick, it seems like, to be MVP. Out of default, for not having very many other options outside of Russell Westbrook and anybody in Golden State, my pick is Anthony Davis. And I'll tell you why. I love Anthony Davis, and he is having a monster season, probably one he's never going to have again. And their record currently, not that great. Obviously, he is valued as he puts up somewhere around 30 points a game, 30, 31 points a game. And he's had freak nights where he puts up 50, puts up 45, all in losses. Jrue Holiday coming back equals wins for them. So as the rest of the season goes on, as long as Jrue Holiday plays, I think they'll go at least 500 for the rest of the season, maybe squeeze in that 8 seed. So if they make the playoffs, I don't think there's any reason why Anthony Davis should not be at least a runner-up, if not the MVP of the year, based on what he's been able to do for this offense. I think he averages 31 a game, 11 rebounds, and averages 2 steals as well. He's playing super well. And then on top of that, he is a great free throw shooter. 82% from the field, which is so far beyond any other big man in the league. It's no contest that he is one of the best, if not the best, power forward, as we've talked about before, Coach. We know that he is absolutely dominant in that aspect of things. So key things to being an MVP. One, you have to be the best at your position. Is that, like, that should definitely be your requirement. You have to be best in the league. You have to be the best in your position. He is the most dominant at what he does out there. There's absolutely no way that I see that he can't be at least in the talk of the conversation. He has been playing great, and this is the best season he will ever play because there's no support for him at all.
Well, you say you have to be the best of your position, but mm-hmm. I mean, who would you rather have as an MVP? Like, who would you say between LeBron James and Kevin Durant, who's the MVP to you? Between just those two guys.
Between those two guys?
Yeah.
I'd say LeBron because okay. He wins championships, as has shown.
Again, this is this year, though. Okay. This year.
This year, who deserves it? Between the two guys, between Kevin Durant and LeBron James, I honestly could not decide between the two because they both have two superstars surrounding them,
I would say Durant, but I still think LeBron's the better player at that position.
I think LeBron only because I think LeBron's on cruise control this year. Mm-hmm. Durant has something to prove because you went to a new team, you dissed your old team, so you better come hard that year and show that you're elite. Where LeBron's got his ring, or his third or fourth?
Third ring.
Third?
First mm-hmm. in Cleveland.
Third, so. His third ring, and they know the East is already theirs to be won, mm-hmm. so they're just cruising. So even though Durant's playing better, I think that LeBron is the better player. Mm-hmm. But to go against your Anthony Davis mm-hmm. argument, if you take Anthony Davis off of the Pelicans, mm-hmm. they'll win 3 games, and they've only won 7. So if you take him away from that team, they're still crap. Like, they're crap with him, and they're going to be crap without him. So that's where I think he has no chance of winning the thing because their winning percentage is 300. You have to at least be 500 to even be in the consideration.
Not in the West, though. In the West, you have to be better than that. It almost yeah, seems like.
But they're horrible, and that's with him.
That's how voters look at it, though. I don't think they should. They shouldn't look at – because LeBron James might show you that it's not necessarily a team game. If you have one good player, you can be good. But mm-hmm. Anthony Davis shows you it is a team game because without anyone really around them, they're not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you do need a team. You need more than just one person, even though LeBron seems to refute that every single night sometimes. Mm-hmm. But –
as I said, I picked Anthony Davis by default as there's no one else statistically even relevant other than maybe like Damian Lillard, whose team is also tanking at this point in time. Like they had a super hot start and then could not put anything together so far recently. I'm going to stick by Anthony Davis. I'll watch the rest of the season and how it plays out because I really think that once they get everything situated there and there isn't 100 injuries and they don't have Lance Stevenson on the team for half of the season so far, I think that they'll be fine.
What's crazy talking about this is me and you picked probably who will end up in the top 3 MVP voting, and then he picked Steph Curry, which actually makes the most sense after talking about it, and yet he won't even be in the top 5. Right. So, well,
yeah, not at all.
Yeah, that's so true. Yep.
After talking about it, though, Steph Curry kind of makes the most sense.
Yeah. Are there any games coming up that we want to look out for
anyone this week coming that up? Plays the Brooklyn Nets?
Let's talk about the Brooklyn
Nets. Oh, yeah, Nets. Just so everybody yeah. knows. No, when we made a reference to the Brooklyn Nets a few weeks ago, that was deliberately directed right at Chris, who instantly messaged me after this podcast went up and was like, why are you hating on my Brooklyn Nets all the time? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because they suck so bad.
I knew why you did.
Oh, it was so good. So good. Let's see. What games are coming up this week that we can talk about a little bit?
But in Brooklyn's defense, who is their main go-to guy?
Brook Lopez. Because, yeah. He
if Brook Lopez usually, is your guy.
He usually is a top 25 player. This year, he hasn't been that good.
This year, he's been hitting the three ball, which is different than the rest of the years, though.
We don't need that. That's not helping us.
I literally just looked at their roster, and I was like, I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. Oh, Jeremy Lin. I remember that one season for five games, you were good.
Yeah, everybody seems to think that he still has it in him at some point.
Okay, Jeremy Lin is a decent basketball player, but he's not a basketball player where you can say, this is why we're going to win. Mm-hmm. You can say, Jeremy Lin's a good addition to our team. We're happy about having him be our backup.
Yeah, but it's not a good addition when you think that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we had Sean Livingston. He came back. And the Nets were like, yeah, we're going to throw this guy out here. You know, we'll see what he does. And he ended up being a superstar. And then, of course, everyone knows him from the Warriors now. So it's like, but any good player that we potentially could have had is either gone or his name is Brook Lopez. So
that's so sad.
So I give them a pass because it's just a bad team. It's not like they're underperforming. They're just a bad team.
Can I go back a few years and talk about the Kevin Garnett?
Yeah, man. Go for it. This is a true Net fan heartache right here. Go let your heart out on the table here.
The only person I've had to express this to is my mom, and she doesn't get basketball. So I would love to talk to you guys about this. When it first came out, when the story first came out, it was through ESPN I saw. And that was a time where ESPN kept putting out information that wasn't true. So I'm like, this is obviously not going to happen. Then they pulled it back. They said the deal's not going to happen. I'm like, oh, great. Now it's going to happen. And sure enough, it happened. They gave away everyone who was good on their team, which Anthony Morrow thankfully turned out to be, nothing. Mm-hmm. But everyone who we had a possible future with for a one-time chance, we bring in a 34, 38-year-old. And then we're like, we're going to, put all of our eggs in this one basket. Which we were excited to go to the games. We were like, now we can actually see them win a game. And then once the playoffs started, we played the Miami Heat, and it was over.
Yeah.
It was bad. Tears came down my eyes when I heard we had Pierce and Garnett, and I loved them. They were great players. They were old, and they weren't going to win a championship, and then we knew that. What a waste of a season. What a waste of a money. What a terrible owner. And then Bojan Bogdanovic, who you said you probably don't even know looking at his name, They brought him over from overseas. This guy's going to be great. He's shooting 29% from three last year. this is ridiculous. Get rid of the owner. Get rid of the coach. Get rid of the players. Start over. Honestly, get rid of the Brooklyn Nets. Let's make it a 28-team league. Let's do a dream draft, whatever they call it, in NBA 2K.
There's 30 teams in the league right now, right?
Yeah.
So who would be the other team to get rid of? And if you're getting rid of them from the East, you have to get rid of one from the West.
No, you can get rid of Philadelphia and then just pull New Orleans over to the East.
The problem with Philadelphia, you can't get rid of the actual team, though, because Philly is a good place to have a basketball team.
I'd say Charlotte. Kick Jordan out one more time.
How dare you?
Yo, Kemba Walker is the only thing good coming out of Charlotte right now. You know it.
How dare you?
You know it.
What place are they in right now? I think fourth. So I don't think you can get rid of them.
No.
You can't get rid of them.
There's some trash going on there. The hype for them will die down quickly. If they get in an 8 or 7 seed, I would be surprised. If Kemba goes down at any point in the season, they will lose 90% of those games.
All right, so you can get rid of Orlando because you already have Miami.
Yeah.
Or you can get rid of Miami and keep Orlando.
Or Dallas. Or, one of the Texas teams.
Oh, yeah, Texas. Can get rid of one of their teams.
There was too many teams.
Mark Cuban's never letting his team go.
You can get rid of one of the California teams.
There's a lot going on.
Get rid of the Clippers.
Get rid of Sacramento. Because who lives in Sacramento?
They just built an arena, though.
Yeah, they just built an arena. And already,
give it to the kids.
As we talk about every week with this, somebody trade for DeMarcus Cousins as he's proving his point. Hey, guys, I'm still great here. If anybody wants me, because I want out.
I don't want DeMarcus Cousins.
Why? Really? Why?
He's a problem off the court. He just got charged with, I think, assaulting a
woman. Yo, as long as nobody proves it and he's not going to prison, he's still helping to win you basketball.
So has President-elect Trump.
Great.
We don't talk about politics here.
Because if we did talk about politics, we'd talk about Jill Stein, how she should be running. But anyways, one guy in the Kings punched this girl in the face or something, and then the husband tried to intervene, and DeMarcus Cousins no, you don't. Really, dude? You're going to stop the husband from helping his wife? I don't know. I don't like him on the court or off the court. And he's like Russell Westbrook. He's about the stats. And he should be, though, because the Kings stink.
They suck. They're so bad.
But we saw him in Rio, and he played and contributed, and played a role. He wasn't like, this is about me.
There's no competition with big guys versus foreigners. They don't know how to play underneath the post.
But he still didn't. Overseas. He didn't even start. Like, he came off the bench just like, okay.
Yeah, but he dominates the post. He, like, it is no contest.
I would, let's see, if I were the Oklahoma City Thunder, I would give up Cantor and Adams for Cousins.
I'd say I'd do it. I'd give up Oladipo and Cantor.
I would do it.
Yeah.
I'd pull that trigger in a heartbeat.
If I was Oklahoma City, I'd move back to Seattle.
How do you guys like that Oklahoma City doesn't sit down until they score?
Wait, the team doesn't
sit down? The fans will not sit down until they score their first basket.
I would be so mad if I had like an 8-year-old kid trying to watch the game.
I would love for them not to score for an entire like 7.5 minutes just to begin the game so that people would just be like, rest, like, oh, I got to sit out.
Russell Westbrook wouldn't want that to happen. He's got a goal to make that triple-double right in the year.
Uh-huh. Does anybody know which team gives out, like, every time they score over 100 points, they give out, like, free tacos to their team? That's the real winners there are the fans.
I went to a Heat game this year, and if the opposing team misses a free throw, they pick the best free throw shooter.
Uh-huh.
And if he misses a free throw, everyone gets free small fry from McDonald's. So ridiculous. And of course, so what happened happen? Was, what was great is that he missed it and everyone went crazy, but then there was a lane violation, so we got to reshoot the free throw, and then he made it. I got to find that video for you. It was against the Bucks too, Heat-Bucks game.
Oh, dang. At least you watched a game that they could have won, you know?
The Heat did win that game.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, they don't win many games this season.
Yeah, they're garbage.
So we used to be Heat fans back when Dwayne Wade was still around, so we understand.
Yeah.
We understand.
Yeah.
The only game I'm really looking forward to this week, honestly, is one that I don't think a lot of other people are going to be into. But I'd like to see the Clippers get their swag back, sort of, and playing the Portland Trailblazers, who is pretty much at the same competition level as them right now, which is not very good. But I'd like to see them get their stuff together and play that game. Other than that, Memphis Grizzlies, they're playing Golden State this week, and they're playing the Cavs.
Yeah.
So I had 3 games marked, and you covered all of them. Hey. So I'll try to find another one in the meantime. But those are the 3 games that I had marked. I can't wait to see how Memphis does against the 2 top teams in the East and West. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that could say a lot. It's a pretty even like team as to see how they'll match up defensively against these teams. I mean, on the offensive end, as we had talked about earlier, Memphis doesn't have a lot going for them. But seeing if a defensive-minded team can really slow down either of these top teams in the East and the West is going to be a deciding factor in how other teams play defense against them and their approach to winning games against them too. You have any you're looking forward to, Coach? Is that the same ones?
There's actually ESPN on Wednesday is going to air Spurs and Celtics. And the Celtics are supposed to be good. But I'd like to see how they fare against, like, top-tier West Coast teams. Because that's just going to, you know, keep them in check. Celtics are like, oh, we're a decent team.
Yeah.
They're going to run in some heavy competition and that's see if they can hold their own against them. I don't think they're going to win the game, but if they can keep it within 5, they can at least, be competitive.
I think that's a really good matchup, actually, because you have 2 defensive-minded players, Avery Bradley and Kawhi Leonard, are obviously going to face off against each other just because they're the 2 best defensive matchups that they have. So it'll be good to see them. And then LaMarcus Aldridge versus Al Horford playing in the post, that'll be a good matchup as well. So it's all about exposing the weaknesses, and the weaknesses for Boston is their bench, and Patty Mills is the answer for San Antonio. So I think it'll ultimately come down to bench play, but I think that'll be a good matchup.
You guys all mentioned top teams. Mm-hmm. What about on Thursday, the Bulls play the Bucks? Now, you talked about how you don't think that the Bulls are a good team, or you're not sure if they are a good team or not for Indy's team.
Yeah.
But the Bucks, you guys like the Bucks.
Wouldn't say I like the Bucks.
I think Chicago can go to Milwaukee and beat them, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a very slim chance where I see that Milwaukee's going to win this game. Just because they are so one-minded, like we had been talking about with Giannis, I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up offensively if Jimmy Butler has a good night. You know, they really need support from Jabari Parker in order to win those games, because you're not going to get freak nights from what's the fool that you like over there, Michael Beasley, yeah. they're not going to expect him to go out there and score 15 a game. If he scores 7 points every game, I would be impressed for a guy who's been kicked around the league repeatedly. And so they need somebody to step up, and it can't be Giannis every single night. I think that combination between Jimmy and D-Wade, as long as D-Wade plays, this is an easy game for Chicago to win.
You say that, but Chicago loses to bad teams. Like, I was talking about the Knicks earlier. I think the Knicks are better than the Bulls because they beat bad teams. They lose to good teams. Well, they lose to bad teams, the Bulls.
But they beat the good teams every now and again.
Every now and again. But you know, Dwayne Wade has some great games where he goes inside, drives inside, has a nice spin move or whatever, Euro step as you like to call it. And he's looking like he's a young D Wade again.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't really like them. Yeah, I think they'll beat the Bucks, though.
I think it's another one of those instances where people play to their competition. And Chicago's playing super crazy recently when it comes to playing to their competition. When they play against bad teams, they underrate how they're going to play. And then when they play good teams, they're like, all right, we'll get hyped up for this game and play our absolute 100% best. Well, on that note, I think that covers up pretty much everything that we had to talk about this
weekend. I'd like to do a little rant before we get off.
Oh, go ahead.
On fandom.
Fandom. Okay. Soapbox by Coach.
So there's so many people that are fans of teams, and their reasoning is they live in that area, and so they have like this unnatural connection with the team. And so whenever people move from team to team, they drop those people and they stay with the team. And that mind-boggling to me, mind-boggling, because my favorite person, Dwayne Wade, says, pay me and I'll stay. And the management says, you're old. We're not going to pay you. So he leaves. Why would I be a fan of that team still? Like, I don't love Pat Riley. I love Dwayne Wade. Mm-hmm. So why should I be a fan of the Heat when the Heat have not been loyal to me and my love of Dwayne Wade? You know, because so many people are like, I'm a Knicks fan, and I'll always be a Knicks fan. So when the Knicks trade away your favorite players and say we're in a rebuilding mode, you're showing loyalty to that? Like, I don't get that. So people always make fun of me because they're like, oh, you like the good teams. No, I like good players. And where the good players are, where I'm going. I'm not going to like a team. I love the Charlotte Hornets, but they haven't been good since Alonzo Mourning. So I'm going to go find a team that I can bear watching every week. Mm-hmm. No offense to Chris, but like if I like the Nets and they're this bad, I can't watch that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to put myself through that misery of sticking to it, something that's not working. So that's just my little rant I wanted to go on.
I did mention how I have not seen one Nets game this year. When I was in high school, I watched it every night. I recorded it when I was going out that night, and I would rewatch it. I love the Nets. I hate their management. I hate their owners, and I hate everyone involved. I will be a Nets fan, and I will continue to root for them, and I will watch a few games this year. Yeah. But I can see what you mean. Management is cutthroat. They don't care about the players, and they don't even care about the fans, honestly. They want money. Like, and if fans aren't coming, the fans that are coming to the game, they spike up the prices. Hot dogs are now $17 instead of $8. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree. I was a diehard Pistons fan for many years when they had great cohesiveness on the court. And then it's like once the players started getting older, you obviously, like, they part their ways, whatever. They did nothing to rebuild. Like, Joe Dumars made the worst picks that you could ever have for, like, a duration of, what, like, 7 years that he was there as the GM. I couldn't support that team anymore. Just, you try to support a team. But I had a friend who was another diehard Pistons fan, and I was just like, dude, I can't take it anymore. He's like, I'm watching Heat games from now on because I love Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade currently then was still my favorite player in the league, and he's still, to this day, I watch Chicago games because I want to watch him play. I could not support a Pistons team that had no hype anymore. Their best player was like Rodney Stuckey. Who wants to watch him play? Joe Dumars made these weird picks from overseas. Whatever.
Tanya Stuckey wants to watch him play. That's his mom.
You know, great for Tanya. You know, you can record all the games, watch them over and over again. You're the one of like very few viewers. I can't believe, like, that's my spiel. I agree with you. People start to like just watch basketball for basketball. Stop watching it to support a team and then not watching anymore because your team sucks. Because chances are your team's gonna win only one out of 30, right? Yeah. That's how many teams are in the league. 30%. You're only going to win one out of those. So be happy when you have it. When you don't, find another reason to love the sport.
One point of disagreement, though. I will never root for another team other than the Nets. It's just that I've just become a fan of basketball now, not a fan of the Nets. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. I've become a fan of football now, not the Giants. I'll always be a Mets fan, you know, but that's baseball. Who cares about baseball?
I feel like baseball is much – it throws that argument out of the window because – seasons change with like the flip of a hat if you get one new pitcher or something like that. But we're not here to talk about baseball because we hate baseball.
You don't see baseball podcasts. When someone's talking about baseball, they use basketball and football as a reference for baseball. Like that's how popular football and basketball are in relation to baseball. Yeah,
that's so true. But I think that's it. That's it for us here at the bank job. Getting it done. This was a longer timeout than usual. We should call it something else, like overtime or something like that. Something like that. Maybe something. We'll think about it. But until next week, for myself, Coach, and Chris, we will talk to you guys on Monday. Peace.